Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats. Joined, as always, but this time, I don't have his beautiful face sitting right across me. Jeremy Boucher, how are you?
I'm doing well, Adam. How are you tonight?
I'm doing not too bad. Whereabouts are you?
So I'm in the lovely town of San Basile, New Brunswick, home of legendary French Canadian singer Rock Voisin. I'm here for a week. This is my first official business trip I've ever been on my entire life. I feel very important, so don't mess with me, or I'll have to speak to the manager.
that's pretty impressive. That's your first ever professional trip.
Yeah, it wasn't growing up. It wasn't very much of a big deal, but here I am now.
Yeah,
it's like I have to come. I have to move away from. Be away from home for a week to become a man.
And it looks like your kid's already getting into trouble, putting spinning a comb into her hair, and now I don't know if she's got it out yet.
What? I didn't hear about that.
Oh, you didn't see that? Megan's Facebook. Avery, I guess, took a comb and like twisted it around in her hair so much that the comb actually got stuck in her hair.
I did not hear about that. Very strange that I hear it from you. Rather than my own family.
Probably because they weren't sure how to tell you, but hopefully she's figured it out by the time you talk to her. But
that could be it too. Yeah.
All right, so we got a full show. Home opening weekend, Quebec trip number one, stick tap, and cat of the week. So let's get at it.
Yeah, it's as we normally do. I'll kick it off with the quick question of the week. Unfortunately, we do not have a sponsor this week. Yeah, that was no mysterious companies decided to sign on board with this part of the show. So, but just want to know about your overall thoughts of the home opening ceremony from Friday evening.
Well, it couldn't. I mean, they couldn't have been any worse than last year. Let's just get that out of the way. I thought it was pretty awesome. It was like we talked about last year. They kind of had that festival, but there was no video. There was no like pump up kind of thing. This was completely different. They had a whole new video, the lasers, the smokes, the everything. I would say the lasers probably went a couple minutes too long, but other than that, I had no issues with it. I thought it was pretty awesome.
I figured with the light show, it was a little too long. Maybe 4 minutes too long, to be honest. I think it could have been, 2 minutes at the most.
Yep.
The thing there where they have they show the words on the ice and they get the voice of JR, saying what the words are on the ice. To me, it was a little on the, how do I say this nicely, corny. I think we needed more of an energetic voice behind the mic for that segment. It just seemed very there wasn't much energy behind behind who was talking. So that could have been a little more that could have been better in my opinion. But other than that, it was good. The smoke was a little excessive, I think we'll probably touch on that later on in the show.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was good. I didn't mind it. I like they did the introductions, the individual introductions. Waited for the end to do the captains. I like that, and I think it's just something that they should be doing every game, not introducing every player individually. Bring it back up. They did last year where they just, they bring the players out by their, as a team, and then introduced him as introduced the starting lineup.
Yeah, I told you on like it. This was from the Sunday game. They went back to the old version from the Coliseum where they did the starting lineup individually, and I think that's absolutely one of the stupidest ways you can introduce a hockey club. It kind of sucks the energy out of. I can't imagine what it's like for the guys that aren't starting, or even, you know, Jordan Spence, who was the first guy out there. You're just skating by yourself. Like, it just. I had very strong views about this last year, and it's just, it's so dumb with the technology we have in the building to make the video cool, walk them all out. And I don't know if it was just because they had the lasers, so they wanted to use the names one last time. Like, I guess we'll find out on the 9th when they play Cape Breton, but that is, that is a terrible way to introduce your hockey club and kind of suck the life out of you, really.
Yeah, it was, kind of turned me off a little bit. I was, you know, I just wasn't really into the game much because, you know, they have such a great, great introduction on Friday night, and then they go back to their the old ways on Sunday. I don't know. A little consistency would be nice.
Yeah, you have a multi-million-dollar building. Use it, not one by one by one, but you know. They at least did something better than last year, and that's what we asked for, right?
Exactly. It wasn't. I mean, last year was good. They covered a lot, but I think last year was a little more dramatic because of it was the opening of the Avenir Center.
It was a little more building and city centric, not just hockey centric. I think.
Yeah. Exactly. So in this way, it was kind of. This is what you would expect from any building that's any team that's having a home opener or any building.
Right.
It was up there. So other than that, I liked it. But Sunday, they need to go back to what they did on last year when they scrambled out as a group.
I will 100% agree with you. So now let's get into the weekend's games. But before we do that, we're going to go for a little bit of news and notes from around the league.
And notes from around the league,
but there isn't much going on that way, so we'll stay cat centric obviously. Alexander Havanov got in a fight and got suspended for one game for taking off a Beauregard's helmet. That's just a standard suspension, nothing really much there, right?
If you know the league rules, you expected it to happen. He was obviously trying to get the team going a little bit, but not the guy I would have used, of course, to get the team going. You know, he's one of your top six forwards, and he lost him for the rest of the game when you were, playing from behind to begin with. He shouldn't be the one fighting.
No.
If anybody's going to step up, there's a Dylan Seitz, we saw Jacob Hudson get in the fight. You know, he can chuck them too.
Yeah.
But it's, Havanov for two reasons. Even though he held his own pretty good, he gets some good shots in. You don't want to see a top six forward getting a fight, and you don't really want to see a Euro getting a fight either, because you don't know how they're going to really fare, right? Because they don't. From my knowledge, there's not very much rough housing in the Russian junior leagues or the Russian under 16 or 17 leagues. So somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. This might have been his first fight ever in a queue. I don't have a great memory. I can't remember that he's ever been in one before. But he stepped up. I wouldn't necessarily call it a. I'll call it a draw. He took some shots to the face as well.
Yeah.
But he probably landed the last two or three shots, which kind of, I would say evened it up a little bit. So I was actually impressed with the result, to be honest.
Yeah. Like I said, you could kind of see it coming. They kind of, him and Beauregard kind of in front of the penalty box, there was a big scrum, and those two kind of went at it after he took a cross check, and you know what? He can't be fighting at all again. Like you said, that's Hudson, Seitz, Sean Stewart when he gets back in the lineup. That's their job. But, you know, he was annoyed and, you know, he stood up for himself, which I don't have an issue with, right? Just this one time, though. No more.
Just this once. Show us that you can handle yourself in a fight. But let's stick to your game. Right?
Yeah.
You're there to set up plays, not to set up fights.
Yep. And you know what? Yeah. You showed us that you can fight. We're impressed. And let's not do it again. The other news was Jacob Peltier was named to the QMJHL Team of the Week. Spoiler alert, we may mention him in the rest of the later in the show, so I'll just leave it at that. So let's get into the games. Home opening weekend Friday. We predicted a big win, and Moncton basically survived Bathurst with a 6-5 shootout win thanks to Mika Sear. Just your thoughts on the Fog Bowl.
My thoughts. Not what I was expecting. not one bit. It was with all due respect to Bathurst, I did not expect Moncton to be battling from behind.
Right.
Especially, down by 2 goals going into the third period. You know what? When you need a lift, you look to your captain. And Pelchy got both goals, the third and fourth.
Yep. Yeah, he scored the first two in his third.
Yeah, to tie it up. So, for someone who was at the beginning of the game he'd made some plays, but he was relatively quiet. Other than that, it was good to see him really. Good step up and get it going, and very fortunate to win that game. Of course, the Bathurst took a 1-goal lead with what was it, about 2.5 minutes left, I think.
Yeah.
But then they managed to score not too long after that to tie it up and to send it in overtime and then into a shootout. Honestly, probably the final 20 minutes and. Well, I should say 20 minutes plus 5 in overtime, and then the shootout was probably the most entertaining part of the game. The building was rocking in the third period, they're lucky to get 2 points. They would have been lucky enough to get 1 point. So, other than that, it was very, I wasn't impressed at all. Didn't expected a lot more and didn't get much.
No, and we thought they'd come out with, home opener crowd and all that, and it was not. I mean, kudos to that top line from Bathurst. I think they had 9 points or something like that, or 11 points or something. I mean, Anderson McDonald showed what he can do in this league. He put the crowd in a hush in that second period, but to echo what you said, you look to your leaders, and Peltier, and Havanoff 30 seconds after Coyne scored. It was, again, they got behind going into the third period, and that's not a recipe to win a lot of hockey games.
Mm-hmm. That's the worst part. I mean, and really, it's, I know we'll lead into Sunday's game here as well, but they can't be battling from behind all the time. They're going to get in some serious trouble if they don't start taking control of these games.
Yep, and Sunday we had Hockey Hat Guy over to complete the annual home and home series against the Islanders came away with a victory while he was here. This time it was 5-3, and of course it was Jacob Gooby's first start. And like you had said in our group chat, they'll probably win 3-0 or something behind that kid. And Jake was talking about how good he was, and I said to Layla, Moncton has to lead the league in shots right into a goaltender's chest. I don't know how many shots they had that just hit him right in the chest, and to come out and have 14 shots in two periods against a rookie goaltender, there's got to be more. And I said it on the Instacast on Instagram on Sunday, there has to be more. And this team is not going to win a lot of hockey games, to echo what you just said, coming back in every hockey game. I don't think they've led going into the third period or even been tied going into the third period, have they?
No, they've been battling back every game. So it's, you know, something's got to give. They really got to stop. It's got to stop. They can't continue like this. Or, you know, the expectations of this season are going to be thrown out the window. Because it's going to come back to bite them in the ass if they don't get going here.
And, I mean, it was a, you know, you guys always talk about a Jim Holton-led team, and I'm starting to see that now in the 2 years I've been kind of covering this hockey club. So you can take the team they're playing against with the grain. They outworked them, like, so bad. It's
They've won almost every cup battle. They're intense up here. They're fast.
Yeah.
And that's how they've been, right? Like we've mentioned it several times. You don't want to be the team who faces with those guys in the playoffs.
No.
They're a tough out. They're gonna be a tough game every game. You have to be ready for them. You can't take them for granted. They will beat you. It doesn't matter how many 16-year-olds, how many 17-year-olds they have on their team. They're going to win. They're going to beat you. And, it's going to be because you just took them lightly.
They're all, it doesn't matter if they're 16 or 20, they're pulling the rope in the same way, and that's hard on the puck all the time. I mean, Moncton couldn't get out of their own way. I'm surprised they didn't take, what did they have? Yeah, 5 penalties. I'm surprised it wasn't more, because 90% of the time when you get trapped in your own end over and over and over again, it's either going to result in a goal or a penalty, and it's they couldn't get out of their own way no matter what happened.
Yeah, their G definitely have some trouble moving the puck right now.
Yeah.
But that, you know, they've got two guys on the back end that really shouldn't be playing, shouldn't have made the team, right? You look at Jeremy Hibbert, he was a call-up. DeRozier should be
in midget.
Should be in midget. Sean Stewart's out of the lineup. Like, these are, you know, that's two call ups if you want to call them that. Plus any regular defenseman out of the lineup, it's tough. But you know, it's still early in the season, but you can't be making excuses for how they're playing. DeRozier, I mean. It was great that for where he was drafted, he was a late draft pick to come and make the team. But he's got to go and play with the Flyers. I was impressed with him early Friday night. Mm-hmm. I was super impressed. But Sunday he got exposed a little bit on Sunday. Needs to clean it up a little bit. He's going to be a nice piece to the puzzle in the next year or two. But for now, he really needs to go back down to midget. And we need to figure it out more on defense. He's not the only problem back there.
No.
I know he was a big piece of the team last year, but Jordan Spence is really struggling out there, too, to start the year. He's only got 1 point in 4 games.
Yeah,
-3 or -4. He's been noticeable more for the bad reasons in the first 4 games of this year than he's been for good. And he's supposed to be one of those guys that should be taking a huge step forward this year, and he's not. He's been very underwhelming so far. Fortunately, probably the longest road trip of the season, coming up here this week. So, hopefully they can kind of sit down with one-on-one with Coach Turgetti and just go over things, each player, and figure it out. Because, look, if they go only three on this road trip, that's a terrible start to the year for your first set of games.
Yeah.
So it needs to be fixed. And I just hope that, I hope to God it's not one of those, I hope it's not an 0-3, because if you're 0-3, you know what, there's even more pressure on this team, and you know they want to win this year, and if you start, faltering early, that means it's, you know, the load up at midseason is going to be even worse.
And the narrative out there is we're waiting for Axel Anderson to show up, and we're waiting for this, and you know that there's some rumors about a guy from Rimouski that isn't in their lineup. So there's, but it can't be who's not here. It's got to be the six or seven guys, and they have time to get it fixed. But I'm tired of hearing of, well, is it, we'll just wait for Anderson, we'll be fine. And I'm guilty of saying if we get Anderson, we're fine. But if we get Anderson and they play the same way defensively, I don't know if, like, there's something internally, whether they're not understanding the system just yet in four games or what. I mean, you talk about Spence. I can't remember what he had last year, if he was, if he struggled in the first week or whatever. And, I mean, I don't know. But it's got to be something that they fix instead of hoping that Anderson shows up in the next week or in 2 days, as you predicted on the Saturday episode, Sunday episode. Or, you know, other guys are coming in. But it's got to be the guys in that locker room that get this thing fixed.
Mm-hmm. You have to – you can only work with what you have.
Yep.
And it's not good. It's not good. I don't think they played a full 60-minute game yet. Like, the first game of the year, you saw it.
Yeah, they played about half. Once Foreman scored, then they started to get going.
Yeah, and then the game in St. John, they weren't themselves. And then Friday night, they weren't themselves. Sunday, they were not themselves.
I think they played 60 minutes total in the four games, maybe, if you add up 10 here, 15 here, 10 here, right? So
that's a perfect way to put it, right? You can't win hockey games if you're only going to show up for 10 minutes.
No.
But I think I've been kind of shitting on them enough to kind of turn it around, to take a positive spin here. I just want to point it out that I did correctly predict that with my that Zach LaRue would score his first Q goal.
Yeah.
Of course, he was the face of the ticket on Sunday for season ticket holders, and you know, what do you know? He scored his first goal. In a goal that I don't think a lot of people knew it was his originally.
No, unless you saw it on TV. I don't. Once I saw the replay, then I knew it was his. But I don't think anyone knew it was his.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I'm not sure who I was talking to, but you know, you saw him. I think he went and I don't know if he went and got his in if he went and got the puck or something like that. No, it wasn't him the one who got the puck. So I thought he was the one that got that went to get the puck, but it wasn't. It was somebody else. So, from what I saw, from where I was sitting, I thought it was Alberg that went with Daddy, and it was his first goal in the queue, and he collected the puck. But it was kind of a weird celebration, because obviously LaRue knew it was his first goal. So he was kind of celebrating by himself while the other four guys were on the other end of the ice.
Yeah.
You know, kind of as a group, and you got, you know, Zach just kind of, where's my team, guys? So, you know, that was funny. It was a good moment, but you know what? He's, between him and James Nalatoff of the Ramparts, probably two of the most impressive 16-year-olds so far this year.
Right.
So it's good. I mean, for, you know, Quebec took a gamble on Malatesta. They got him in the seventh round, and he's got three or four goals already this year. LaRue's got four assists, one goal, four assists, something like that.
One goal and five assists. I think he's got
Wow.
6 or 7 points here. I'll just, I mean, Joshua Waugh is playing pretty well. Yeah, he's got 1 goal, 5 assists for 6 points in 4 games. So.
And 16 shots. So he's got 16 shots in 4 games.
So that's pretty good.
You know, he, yeah, and it's, I'm not surprised, right? It's, this is what I came to expect from him. So, my prediction of Philip Drew is a lot that 50 of the year, not looking so good so far. I think you might have this one in the bank there, Adam. So,
well, just, I mean, it's early, but just to give a rookie scoring race so far after 4 games for most teams, LaRue's one, number one with 6. Dawson Stairs has got 5 points. Riley Kidney's got 5. Malatesta's got 3 goals, like you said, for 4 points. And Charlie Dafonska from Drummondville's got 4 to round out that. So
there you go. So, yeah, I think you might, it is early, but I think you might win that, that one.
I'll take my week one victory lap.
Yeah, there you go.
Before we move on to the Quebec trip, just to get your thoughts on this, to put a ball in the Islanders game. So in the second period, near the end of the second period, Jacob Hudson lays a clean hit on Cole Edwards. He was kind of, he went down tough into the boards there between the benches, and Brendan Clavel stepped up and challenged Huddy, and, you know, he's going to take the fight, but I can't stand that crap when you have a clean hit and you have to fight. I don't like it. I don't think Huddy should have to fight for a clean hit, but what are your thoughts?
You know, it's not great. You know, it's probably the one thing I don't like about hockey is when, you know, there is a clean hit, and that, you know, that sort of thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's tough for players to really decide what to do. I think in that situation, you kind of, you know, Clavel was the captain of Charlottetown, so just wanted to, you know, protect his players. And, you know, I didn't mind it. I think, you know what, if Clavel would have went after, you know, a rookie on the Wildcats, or, you know, then I might have had a problem with it. But I think he knew who he was going to be facing off with.
Yeah.
That kind of was his, kind of in the back of his mind. I think if it was any other player, you know, like...
So you're saying if Rumsey had made the hit and then Clavel went after Rumsey? You'd have more of a problem with it?
I would have had a problem with it a little bit.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I thought you meant, like, if Cole Edwards hit Hudson and Dylan Seitz went after it, you'd have a problem with it. Because I wouldn't like that either. I just don't like anybody having to fight after laying a clean hit. And I know it's part of the hockey code, that the unwritten code that nobody really knows about. But I can't stand it, especially if it's a dirty hit. Absolutely no issues with it. But when it's a clean hit, I just don't like it for either team, really.
Yeah, I think honestly, I think Rumsey probably could handle himself in a fight to begin with.
Right.
You know, I've never seen him chuck the nucks, so I don't really know. But you know, the Islanders are tough. You know, they'll take on anything. I'm talking like a Jeremy Hebert, for example. You know, someone who's like totally undersized. I mean, obviously Hudson's a little undersized as well, but you know, when you have Dennis Bombi's your uncle, you know, you kind of learned over the years that you know, how to throw him. So that's kind of where I'm going at, right?
Right. Yeah.
People will completely disagree with me, and they'll say, if you're playing junior hockey, doesn't matter how old you are or how big you are, if you got to fight, you got to fight. And then, obviously, some people will, you know, kind of, that's how they'll see the argument as well.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, that's my opinion. I'm allowed to have it. So that's that.
That's what you're here for, to give your opinions, right?
Yeah,
all right, exactly. So let's get into the road trip. I think it's safe to say we're done with predictions. We're not very good at this. So we don't need to give score predictions anymore. I think we're 0 for 4 on that, not even anywhere close either. But so it's the Quebec swing trip, the first one of the year. This one, like you've said many times, it's good to get this one out of the way early. As I head to Gatineau today or yesterday, depending on when you listen to this, Wednesday, I guess. And then run around Friday, Val-d'Or Saturday. So last year, this trip happened about the same time. They were 4-3. They'd just been beaten by Cape Breton pretty handily at home. I think they had a win against somebody else, and then they left for Thanksgiving. They went 2-2-1, and then they came back and didn't lose again in regulation till we jinxed them against Sherbrooke and Drummondville.
Yeah.
So it's what has to happen on this three-game trip, aside from going 3-0, for this to be a successful trip for you?
Don't play from behind. get off a better start. Play 60 minutes of hockey. I don't care if you play 60 minutes of hockey and lose.
Right.
Just play 60 minutes of hockey. Don't get your ass handed to you by teams that you should be beating. To me, again, not going to make predictions. These are three winnable games. But I wouldn't be, you know, if they win one and lose two, I wouldn't be surprised. If they win two and lose one, crazy. Excuse me, but these are three games that you should be winning. And
yeah.
It's good that it's at this time of the year because they do need it. Randomly ran into Neil Hodge at the Pizza Life Desert Gym on Monday. He was the boys were on the bus at the Monster Pizza across the street. So, you know what? They've been in Gatineau since probably Monday night. So
right.
They had a little light practice
today
from Tuesday, and you know they get the game Wednesday night. So it's good they went off the day before, 2 days before, really. From what I said earlier, you know, individual video messages, gel as a team, like figure out that what the hell is going on. So it's good. It's the first big road trip, and they're trying to make a new bus. So you know what? Like some of the guys said, the new bus should help them win some games. I'm not sure what bus helps you win some games. But prove me wrong, and I'll be pleasantly impressed.
That'd be kind of cool. The new bus helps them win games. But they're playing
one
of the two hottest teams in the
league,
though.
Goal scored by number 26, Zach LaRue, assisted by the top. at 17 hits in 26 seconds of the first period.
By the bus. They're playing one of the three hottest teams in the league right now in Rennes-Rondeau on Friday.
That's the game
that you can't get pushed. That's the game I don't want to see you get pushed around in. Gatineau should be beatable, although you've said there's some things that happen in that rink, and we saw it last year going to the shootout. Val-d'Or should be winnable, as it's the battle of the second and third overall pick. But Rennes-Rondeau is the game that I need to see you not get pushed around. I don't care if you lose, but don't get pushed around in, because that's a team that is playing great, that we're at, that's where we want to be, right?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I like Rouyn-Noranda. I like what they're doing. I know they're going to get off to a hot start in the first half of the year. But then it's going to be Christmas time, and sell is probably what they're going to be doing. Because you know what, they'll want to be good again in a couple of years when they keep hosting the Memorial Cup again. So That's the junior hockey cycle. The junior hockey cycle that for some reason doesn't exist in Moncton. But we got to take what we can get. You know what? You know what? We've seen it work. We've seen it not work. And we just have to, you know, support whatever decisions are made.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't support them, don't be on a podcast.
Exactly. I'm just looking at Wren's roster. They play Sherbrooke on the Wednesday, and then they play us on the Friday. So we could be seeing another rookie goalie in Kevin Brassard. I mean, we could. Zach Emon could be, but if we see another rookie goaltender, that's the game that you have to, not have to win, but you should win, because we can't keep being stonewalled by rookie 16-year-old goaltenders. Like, just pepper them and pepper them and pepper them.
In most of the time, you know what? It's the reverse. It's like a reverse psychology, right? You see that the opposition starting their rookie goaltender, and you're like, okay, this is gonna, you know, gonna be a win, but it just ends up not happening. Right? You end up losing because, you know, you've got that expectation that, you know, this is gonna be easy, and it's really not.
No, because they're on the team for a reason.
Yeah, I think when teams have their rookie goaltenders or their backup goaltenders in net, they seem to buckle down more defensively.
Right.
With the exception of Moncton, of course. you kind of notice that, right? It's not tough in junior hockey. It's also in the pros.
Yeah.
Your D isn't playing as loose as they do when your starter's in there. So I think that helps other teams, come together when their backup is playing.
And I expect to see, you know, if your prediction is right, I expect to see Axel Anderson and Spence play a lot of minutes against the two hottest scorers in the league in Tyler Heinem and Vincent Marleau. I mean, that's the top line that you're going to have to shut down. But if he's not there, I expect to see Huntley and Spence play a lot against him. And, you know, again, just don't get pushed around. That's all we want to see. Let's just see something.
Just take control of games. Act the bone, I guess. Don't break their knees. Whatever you want to eat. I mean, obviously, that's not a very professional thing to say, but you know what? Get your act together. Move your feet. Stop being so damn lazy. Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. I'm like tearing the team apart. I'm so rattled.
It's because you're up north, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. What did it hit Fredericton to become an arsehole?
Yeah. You're not in the studio, so it's a different type of Jeremy, but so they're going to be without. They're going to be without Havanoff for the game against Gatineau. But I mean, by no means do we think if they go 3-0 that this is the time for the run and it's going to happen. Would it be nice? Yeah, but just take some strides, because when you get home, you've got, like I said on the Instacast, Cape Breton, Halifax, St. John, and Bathurst, which four pretty tough games. With opponents from this year, right? So,
mm-hmm.
All right. You got anything else on the road trip?
What's that? Sorry.
I said, you got anything else for the road trip?
Not for the road trip. No, really. That's it. Just really give me two wins and I'll be happy. All right. Give me four out of 6 points. Doesn't matter how you get them. I'll be satisfied with that.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Get us 4 out of 6, because if you get a 0 out of 6, we're gonna be spitting straight fire next week.
I'm calling in sick for that one.
And that's acceptable because you had to work that extra Sunday. So fans know what they love it.
Eric Murray Realty, buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
So the stick tap of the week, I kind of teased it a little earlier last week on social media. So last week we had the Friends of the Moncton Hospital Foundation they raised, their goal was $2 million for the Extraordinary Care campaign. $2 million goal, and they actually raised $10.1 million.
That's incredible.
So they literally raised $8 million more than their goal, right? So that's absolutely incredible, especially when it comes to, you know, money that's all going to the hospital. And, you know, nobody else to thank but the, you know, the chair of the campaign, also the president of the Moncton Wildcats, Mr. Robert Irving. You know, he's been behind this for many, many years. So, you know what, for six out of the week, for, you know, just all the donors that contributed to that $10 million. You know, hopefully, this is something that, you know, they do every year. So, and hopefully it's, you know, next year they can set a goal of $10 million and, you know, bring in double that. You never know. But that was absolutely incredible when I saw that. It was, you know what, I think they would have been happy if they, you know, if they just reached their goal. But really to go and get, you know, 500% more than what they were going out for is just amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I think I heard on 96 New Country 96.9 that when they set the goal for 8 million, people weren't sure how they were going to even get to that. And mm-hmm. I mean, they were right. They didn't get to it. They exceeded it, and it's pretty awesome for everyone. That I'm slowly learning that this city, when there's something to rally behind, they can be pretty generous.
Absolutely, man. You know, it's all part of that maritime hospitality. We're good people. You know, it's we help the ones that we love, and you know, we also help the ones that we don't love, I guess you could say. And I guess it just all comes back to, you know, just paying it forward. And you know, some people, you know what, it can go as far as, you know what, paying for coffee for the person behind you at Tim Hortons, or you know, paying for somebody's breakfast is just something, you know, small like that can make people's day, someone's day. And you know what, this was fortunate enough to make the stick tap of the week.
The stick tap of the week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with Century 21. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton and surrounding area, make sure to check out his Facebook page or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
I like it. All right. The Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week. This one's pretty easy. Fresh off signing his ELC with the Calgary Flames and being named the captain of the Wildcats, Jacob Pelche is your Cat of the Week, and he showed why. Two goals in the third on Friday to get us back in that game. Another one in the third on Sunday to kickstart the comeback. So, I mean, 6 points in two games. Like I said earlier, he was the QMJHL Team of the Week, and he's the Wildcast Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week. Anything else, or are you good?
One final thought. This may be announced, or you know, might see the rounds, but former Wildcats Charles Antoine Jagir has been picked up by the Baie-Comeau Jacquard.
Oh, really?
Not official yet, but actually it is official. If you look at the Baie-Comeau Jacquard's roster on the Q site, you'll see that he's part of their team wearing number 25 for the Jacquard.
Huh. I think he was out in... Was he out in Alberta playing?
Yes, he was playing for the, I believe they're called the White Court
Wildcats, yeah.
Or something like that. And, yeah, must have gotten an offer to come play for Baie-Comeau. He would be their, they've got 1, 2, 3 20-year-olds. So he joins Gabriel Proulx and Thomas Ethier in Baie-Comeau as 20-year-olds.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. All right.
A tough team to be a part of this year, but you know what?
He's playing close to home, right?
Getting a chance to play in the queue will, as a 20-year-old, will just put a little more money in his pocket when he goes away to university. So it's all good.
Exactly, and it's good to, you know, come and play. I'm not sure how far that is, Baie-Comeau is from St. George de Beau, Quebec, but at least he's back in Quebec instead of playing in Alberta, so it's good for him to be closer to playing in front of his family, right?
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you kind of teased it earlier about a 20-year-old from Rimouski, D'Artagnan Jolie. I don't know if it's going to happen. He's been a bit of a wild card in terms of his attitude, so
right.
I'm not exactly sure if he's the type of player you want to bring on board to the Wildcats. So even though his name has been thrown around on social media recently, I don't know if it's actually going to happen.
He may not be one of those players that that Richie talked about, what it takes to be a Wildcat.
No, he's got a lot of talent in the world. He was a draft pick of the Calgary Flames, but you know, didn't get signed. Had a terrible year last year.
Right.
Apparently, some off ice issues. So I really don't think he's kind of in the you know, what it takes to be a Wildcat. You know what? If it happens, it's a good move because he's got skill.
Mm-hmm.
I said he's going to have to leave his. When he gets to the rink, he'll have to leave the baggage at the door, kind of thing. So, do I think it's going to happen? No. If it happens, I'll be happy. You know, he's a big body. He's like 6'3", over 200 pounds,
right?
Right winger. So he would definitely fit a hole that's on the team right now.
But he's got to fit. If he's going to fit it, he's got to fit it the right way.
Yeah, exactly. If he's here, then there's only 5 more holes to fill.
and four of them are on the back end.
But if he's not here, then we're still sitting at six pieces required. So that's all I've got for this week.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. So just one last thing, guys. I said last week on the Wildcast Instacast, it was Chuck-a-Puck Day for Brent DeBorn at Sunday's game, and the PS4 was won by bus driver Bernie Hatchie. So he found me, obviously, with the jersey. It's not that hard, and he donated it to us to auction off for the hashtag Stand Up for Brent fundraiser for our friend of the show, Brent DeBorn. So we're gonna auction this thing off. Just go to 32auctions.com/standupforbrent. And again, that's 32auctions/standupforbrent. And you can bid on it from now until the October 9th at 10 p.m. It's starting at $100, and bids are in increments of, I believe, $5. The box is signed by Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week, Jacob Pelche. So just whatever you can. It's a 1 terabyte PS4, so it's got a lot of memory. I think the average that they're running for is about 450, 470. So, you know, talking about that maritime hospitality that Jeremy was saying, let's do what we can for Brent. Thanks to Bernie Hatchie for giving us this thing to auction off again for Brent. So it starts now. You can go to 32auctions.com/standupforbrent. It goes till October 9th, which is the game against the Cape Breton Eagles. And hopefully we can get this thing up there just a lot. So, all right. That'll do it. I'll see your pretty face next week in the studio, I take it?
Oh, it'd be Buck.
All right. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.